Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Good morning, Millennials.
Welcome back to The Toast. Happy Monday. Oh my God, it's Monday. And I would be forlorn, but I ain't. Because I'm sitting down with my girl, Jax. Hey, Jax. How you doing?
Hey, Clerd. I'm good. I do have to acknowledge that this is our first full week of the new year, which seems daunting, I'm sure, to everyone. But I know that we can make it through. I just know it.
Well, I'm about to kind of change your life because we actually don't have an episode scheduled for Friday.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, sorry. I meant like the world's first full week of
Year. And we're still figuring out Friday, but it is the full week back in January. But it's exciting nonetheless, because even though we should be forlorn, we're not. It's a very exciting week here at The Toast. I'm in Los Angeles. Like, you probably could tell if you're watching as a video, like, oh my, she already looks like a star. Like, what's happened? She got lip filler. Yeah, no, I've been in LA since Friday, and I'm definitely different.
What are you thinking? I know you're really tough on LA.
I am really tough on LA. I've been having a nice time. Actually, I had a thought this morning as to why, you know, I'm trying to be positive in the new year. I don't know if I've told that about you, told you that yet. I'm just kind of like a different girl now. Here's one thing I do like about LA. First of all, it's like raining. The weather is forlorn, which is annoying. But
I thought you would like bad weather.
I do. But I'm running around town like looking gorgeous. I curled my hair this morning. And then just to walk out of my hotel with like a soppy mop, it's not good.
It doesn't look moppy, but continue on. So you're being positive.
I'm being positive. So here is something positive that I noticed about Los Angeles today. I was ordering breakfast at the hotel, and I was ordering like really weird because, you know, I like just eat weird shit. And the guy who was taking my order like didn't even blink. Like usually when I order my weird things, I'm like, no cheese, no this, no that. He's like, okay, are you sure? Like you don't want the cheese? But he was just nodding along. And I just realized, like, I guess everyone in LA is on some sort of weird diet. Like I'm not special.
Yeah, everyone in LA is picky. It's actually weird to just say, like, I'll have the chicken sandwich, period. Nobody says that
in
LA.
End of story. Nobody says that in LA. And so I was feeling like really kind of just like a Los Angelino.
I feel like whenever we go to LA, I love LA. I think it's so exciting. I think it's so cool. The weather is so nice. The lighting, you know, and we're never there for long periods of time. So I never start to hate it. And I just, you are never really so into it, but I feel like you're going to get into it this week.
Well, can I tell you also like how coming to LA is kind of different now that we're with Dear Media? Like, to be honest, I feel like when we used to come to LA, do like a week of shows, it was so much work. Like, and we were doing everything ourselves. And now I'm just like rolling into Dear Media. Like, look at my microphone. Like, I didn't set any of this up. I have this like gorgeous studio. I have a buccal chair. I didn't even request the buccal chair, and I got the buccal chair. So it's like kind of like everything being done for me. And I do like that part of it. I'm not going to lie.
I just want to say, like, you sitting there with your legs crossed and your Dear Media mic flag with, like, your Dear Media studio background. Like, you're such a Dear Media girly.
I know. I'm literally the chubby confidential.
Like, I can just see you on, like, a Reels on my feed. You know, what Claudia starts talking about, like, why she started juicing and how it changed her life. Mm-hmm.
No, and the thing about wellness is, like, once you get into wellness, it's definitely a really hard space to crack into. And then, like, once you do become well, your life will change. You'll be more intentional and more attentive. And I find wellness to be already, like, seeping into my daily life here.
I saw, because you actually were juicing this morning with an orange juice.
I did. I got to the breakfast and there was like a whole menu for juices. I was like, oh my God, these people are not okay. And I was like, I'll have the Tropicana orange, no pulp.
And?
So good. Orange juice is a beverage that not enough people talk about.
I've been getting into it recently too, because I've had to make some freshly squeezed OJ for Harry a few times. Like whenever he's feeling a little under the weather, I'll do that. Mm-hmm. And of course, mommy has to try it, make sure she's not poisoning her angel. And mommy likes what she sees.
It's so good. I feel like everyone drinks orange juice when they're a kid and then they forget about it as an adult. But when you're hungover, I swear to God, it's like sucking from the teat of Mother Earth. It's so delicious.
It is so delicious. So now you're a juicer. You're a juice check.
I'm a juice check. Okay, so let's also talk about like major update from the weekend.
I just need to say, I know yesterday was a big day for football in general, but it felt mm-hmm. bigger like for us because of our pre-week recap. Like we were pretty much like ESPN last week. And I had so much invested in every game. Like I was looking at the Eagles game. I was looking at the Cowboys game. I was looking at the 49ers game, of course, because like that's my favorite team. And then also I was mm-hmm. looking at the Packers game. It has nothing to do with your weekend, so I'm sure it didn't cross your mind. But like they were playing the Lions. It was the Sunday mm-hmm. night football game. So I was just like sitting down catching up with Zach, and Carrie Underwood came on and I was quaking the house down. It was so good. Claudia, Sunday I don't know if you've watched like this year's yet and if you've watched it in full recently, but like it's so good. I had chills.
You're talking about the game or Carrie Underwood's performance?
Carrie Underwood's song.
I haven't seen the new version.
She ushered me into the game, which I was like interested in because I like Green Bay Packers. And Aaron. The Lions, I like Aaron Rodgers, I do. And then the Lions had a quarterback that I had never seen before, and he was looking mighty handsome. So
that's the thing about football. There's like a lot of hot guys.
So I was interested. And then they were explaining the stakes of the game, that it was a high stakes game, because if the Packers win, they go to the playoffs. And mm-hmm. if the Lions win, then the Seahawks go to the playoffs, which makes no fucking sense.
Oh, okay. Like,
right. And then sure. The announcers were saying, like, this is a high-stakes game for both teams because, you know, the Lions want to finish out their season strong. Like, either way, they're not going to the playoffs. And, like, for the Packers, this is make or break. I wouldn't say the stakes were high for both teams. I would say you guys are trying to, like, make this an interesting game.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't say it's the same either.
Right. Anyways, spoiler alert, the Packers lost. Very sad.
Oh.
And the Seahawks are going to the playoffs.
That was a spoiler alert. I didn't know that.
The Seahawks are going to the playoffs, so I have no... I'm not a Seahawks girl, but I'm happy for the Seattle Toasters.
First of all, you should be a Seahawks girl because of your favorite movie, Draft Day, first of all.
What do they have to do with it?
Isn't it the Seahawks? Doesn't the movie take place in Seattle?
No, it's the Browns, Cleveland, duh.
Oh.
Right?
Okay, I need to see that movie again. So here's where we come in, like to make everything about us. Now that the Seahawks have made the playoffs, they're playing the 49ers this weekend. So that is the game I am going to. Thank you to the Eagles for winning, thus confirming there is a 49ers game this weekend that I can go to while I am in LA, West Coast. I want to thank everyone for sending positive vibes to the Eagles. I'd like to thank the Eagles for their great work. But more importantly, I'd like to thank the Giants for doing abysmally. Like it wasn't even, I didn't even have a pit. Like I turned the game on from the second I watched, I was like, oh my God, this is like the worst team in the world playing the best team. It wasn't even a question. So grateful to the Giants, grateful to everyone. And I'm grateful to myself because I took a risk and it paid off. And there was one in the hand and there was two in the bush. And I got the two in the bush, bitch. And that's exciting.
I'm excited for you. Oh, so I guess that the Packers game was relevant to our discussion because you could have been seeing Aaron Rodgers play this weekend and you're not.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay. Well, nevertheless, I'm going to the game this weekend. Thank God. You know, there's so much like sports energy. I didn't even realize, again, not to make everything about me, but I'm here in LA and everyone's like, are you here for the game? I'm like, the 49ers game this weekend? Yeah, I am. Like, how did you know that? No, tonight is college football championship and it happens to be in LA.
I'm TCU just wrapping my head. Georgia. I'm just wrapping my head around the AFC and the NFC. And so the colleges are going to have to take a back seat.
Yeah, no. It's just like, it's kind of furthering my point that everything really is about us.
Because they had a game where you are currently?
Yeah. It's just like kind of a crazy coincidence.
Yeah. When it rains, it pours. So who are you rooting for? TCU or Georgia?
Oh, it's so hard when you don't care, you know?
Yeah. I feel like we have more Georgia. Oh, it's the dogs with a D-A-W-G?
It's the dogs. It's the dogs, yeah. Oh,
why does
actually,
it have to be like that? Why does it have to be spelled like that? Like that?
No, yeah. Is the school on Long Island?
No.
Go dogs?
Why did they spell it like that? If they didn't spell it like that, I would be like, oh, the dogs, the Bryson and the Strice. But not the dogs.
The dogs. Like if I was at the game today, I'd be like, go dogs. Yeah, let's get some coffee and root for the dogs. I love water.
So for that reason, I'm rooting for TCU.
Okay, what does TCU stand for?
Texas Christian University. A question I asked last weekend when I saw them playing, so I have the answer. I would have thought it stood for the Christian University.
I would have thought it would be like Tennessee Central University. I wouldn't have assumed the C was a religion. I would have assumed it's like a region.
Yeah.
A region versus religion.
Tennessee Central didn't make it to the playoffs.
No, and they were so heartbroken that they didn't make it, but there's always next year, Tennessee Central University. Go dogs!
Go dogs.
So that was like a major part of my weekend, and then like another part of my weekend was kind of like the most probably full circle moment that's ever happened to me.
Please tell us, because you went to a big soiree this weekend, star-studded. I think I saw you in TMZ, was it? Claudia Asher?
Oh, yeah, your girl. TMZ? Yeah, I was in TMZ. I don't know how they knew I was there, but I was. That's what I came to town for. One of my friends, Kate, it was his birthday party, and then I was like, if I'm going to fly all the way out, we'll make a whole week of it. So that's what we're doing. But I flew in for his birthday party on Saturday night, and it was fabulous. It was so fun, star-studded. There was, like, performances. I saw Kelsey Ballerini. Oh, man, she was amazing. Jeff Ross, Tiffany Haddish. Like, it was stunning. But most notably, kind of like someone from my former life was there, and I was shocked. And I had a really surprising interaction with him. It was Billy Eichner. It wasn't Maverick. Maverick actually had texted me that he couldn't make it, but he said, my friend Billy's going, make sure you like talk to him. So I saw Billy Eichner. Now, if you've been listening to the show for a while, if you read my book, you know, like a huge part of my rise to fame had to do with my cameo on Billy on the Street. When I was in college, I was on my way to a class. It was called Writing the Essay. It was the worst fucking class. If you went to NYU, you had to take it. Everyone knows. Oh, my God. The worst class ever. And I was ambushed on the street by Billy and his crew. And there's this segment. It's horrifying. It's not.
It's totally fine. You're so okay, cute. You're just mold. A college student. Okay, but like you had a big distracting hat on, and you played the game, and you're just being cute. And I feel like as much as you get like say yes to the dress people in your DMs, like you also get like, is this you on Billy on the Street?
So true. I get so many DMs. It's like my thing. And it was really my first time ever being on camera. And like, I became obsessed. I hadn't even known what the show was. It was just very exciting. And so I was at the party and I saw Billy Eichner. I was like, oh my God. Ben was like, you have to tell me you were on the street. I was like, no, I would like didn't want to be like embarrassing. But then the person that Billy was with, I don't know if it was like a boyfriend. I think it was just a friend. He was a really nice guy. He like had said something to me. And so I thought that was like my opportunity to like start a convo with Billy. And I was like, Billy, hi, I'm Claudia, and I was actually on the street. Now, I don't know why I had like a preconceived notion of how Billy Eichner would be, you know, as a person, not as a celebrity, but I kind of assumed he would be like kind of bitchy. I was so wrong. He was so nice. First of all, when I told him I was on the street, he was like giddy. He was like, no way. He was like actually interested in what I was saying. And he was like, you were on the street when? I'm like, season 2, episode 3. I think that's what it is. I was wearing a hat and he was like, oh my God, did I make fun of you? Like, were you mad? I'm like, you read me to filth. You made fun of my outfit and I deserved it. And it was so funny. And like, I lived for every moment of it. It was my first time on camera. It like gave me this thirst for fame. I literally said, I'm like, that literally started my whole career. I would not be sitting on this chair at this party if it weren't for our interaction. So for that, I'm grateful. He was so nice. He actually told me he like doesn't meet a lot of people who have been on the street and he doesn't meet them. Like maybe like someone will come up to him like at a restaurant. Maybe doesn't meet them like in social settings. Yeah. He was so nice. It was like such a positive interaction, and it was like it left me feeling really like it warmed my heart. I kind of like love Billy Eichner now.
So you're 2 for 2 on positive interactions with Billy Eichner.
I'm 2 for 2 on positive interactions with Billy Eichner. Yes, Jackie, I am.
That's so wonderful to hear. You love to hear when a celebrity is really nice and sweet and genuine.
No, and then we like had this whole conversation about like street interviewing. It's like such a thing now on TikTok. Everyone's like always running up to people on the street. And like Billy really invented that. I feel like a lot of people forget. Like he was really the first person to do like man on the street, like ambush comedy. And he's really so impressive. And I said, you have to bring Billy on the street back. It was iconic.
Yeah, it really was. Did you have any other positive celebrity social interactions that you would like to share with the class that we need to know, like who's a good person out there?
I feel like everyone was pretty nice, honestly. Like I saw my girly Paris, Kelsey Ballerini. She performed. Oh my God. She is so like breathtakingly talented. Everyone in the room was shook up like by her talent. It's an intimidating room, you know, lots of celebs, Hollywood peeps, and she's, you know, just a girl from Nashville, and she just got up there with her guitar and sang 2 songs. She sang If You Go Down, I'm Going Down Too from her new album, and then she sang Peter Pan, which was, yeah,
perfect song for a birthday,
perfect song, next level. It was really just a great event. A lot of people were messaging me asking if I saw Britney Spears, who was at the party. And when I tell you, when I woke up the next morning and found out she was there, I was shocked because I didn't even see her. Now, that's not that crazy because I'm like always, you know, thinking about me and like looking at me in the mirror and like just minding my own business, drinking a lot. So I didn't see her, but I heard she was there.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
You were in the presence.
Huge. We're in the presence of greatness. Tell me about your weekend, Jax. Make a chili?
My weekend, I did not make a chili, and that's like hurtful that you would suggest that after everything I've been through. After I was attacked for my chili. Yeah, yeah. It's like used as a weapon against me, even though people are still making chilies in solidarity, and I see all your tags, and it's really beautiful how we've all come together. But my weekend was great. It was a little bit different from your weekend, just the smidgiest bit of difference. I was just home with my boys, all my boys. We hung out with the Shapiros, and we had some good times, you know? I did not go car shopping. I did not go car shopping. It actually, I think it might be easier for me to go on a weekday, especially now that our schedule is a little different. So hopefully this week I will go. And now I'm leaning towards Volvo. Like last week I was leaning towards Lexus, but a lot of people have weighed in. One, I think the biggest factor in bringing me towards Volvo is Edward Cullen. Like when you think about what a car represents and what kind of vibe you're putting forth, like I want to be putting forth Cullen vibes. And
of course,
that really, like, and it's if it's good enough for Edward, and you know that, like, Stephanie Meyer researched what car she should choose for Edward, and she came up with that. 100%. Like, why do I need to do more research if that's the best?
100%. When I was, when we were talking last week about, like, car associations, like, where you associate different brands with, I had totally forgotten that the Volvos were an exclusively Cullen car, and that changes everything. It really changes everything. So I'm fully on board. I'm in support as long as I get, like, my seat heater in the passenger seat, you know, not lights, like, lots of leg room, Apple CarPlay, all that stuff. I'm okay with that. I'm great. I think that's wonderful.
Yeah, so I think that's where I'll be headed first. And it's like for the Cullens and for the mamas, for real. So I feel like that's going to be what's best for me. So hopefully I'll have an update about that this week. But other than that, just relaxing weekend at home. Not much to report.
And it's like kind of like discussing not much to report when you literally live in the same house as my king, Roldy. What's new with him?
Well, he got a car this weekend. So that was exciting for him.
I saw Harry got a car before his mom.
He did. He has one of his like little toy cars. We put it together this weekend. He was driving around his new whip and he was obsessed, like obsessed beyond. We played with it all weekend. He never got tired of it. We never got tired of seeing him in it. It was so much fun.
I feel like I could see Harry just like picking up bitches in that car. Bitches being me.
Yeah, no, it's a convertible and like it plays music and he was just like driving in it and it literally looked like he was in Miami, like cruising down the side of the beach.
I'm in Miami, bitch. That's literally Harry, like Imagine Harry at the clubs.
He picked up Bruno and the two of them were just like cruising for girls and it was really sweet.
Two of them picking up bitches.
Yeah, they wouldn't refer to women that way, but they were looking for nice young ladies.
No, I think that Harry would never refer to like a woman as a bitch, but I could see Bruno fucking up some bitches, you know?
Only with Anolia on her worst day.
She needs it.
Don't tell Snitch, even though everyone's about to DM her. They said Nolia needs to be fucked up.
All right, well, we have a fabulous show today. We've got Sturries, we've got Heart, we've got Charisma, and I feel like there's no better time than the present to dive into the Fast Five. What do you think, Jax?
I think it is time, without further ado, about sports, which we just, can't stop talking about these days.
Cannot stop.
We don't have any sports stories, but you know us, we'll find a way to make it about sports.
And then in turn, find a way to make it about us.
Because sports is about us. Sports is life. That.
Sports is life, bro.
It is time for the Fast Five stories that you need to know.
And today's episode, I would be remiss. I would be devastated. I might even be heartbroken if I didn't let you know that today's episode was brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is a fabulous tool to use if you have a side hustle, an e-commerce business. From websites and online stores to marketing tools and analytics, Squarespace is the all-in-one platform to build a beautiful online presence and run your business. So whatever your product is, whatever you're selling, whether you have a side hustle, you want to start selling stuff online, Squarespace is a great place to start if you don't have a ton of web design experience, because who does? But if you're everyone needs a website, whether you're trying to make yourself a portfolio, are you an artist, a photographer? There are so many different features on Squarespace that'll really benefit your business. What I really like is their ability to sync up your social media so you can feed all your social media content to your website. It's a great way to get your name out there, your business. And then when people want to shop, you've got this gorgeous website that looks like you paid a lot of money for, like a fancy designer, and you just did it all yourself on Squarespace. We also have, obviously, a code for you guys because we support business owners. It's squarespace.com/toast. You'll get a free trial, and then when you're ready to launch your website, use our code toast to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or your domain. So it can be really tough to get your domain, whatever your website is, whether it's Seashells by Sally, they can help you find the right domain that's super cute and easy to find and easily searchable. Squarespace really is the one-stop shop for e-commerce. And again, they make it super easy. You don't need to be a tech wizard to get your site up and running. They'll make it look really fancy and look like it took a lot of money and time. But spoiler alert, it did not. So many great features, so many tools to get your business off the ground, like e-commerce templates, inventory management, a simple checkout process, secure online payments. Whatever it is that you're selling, Squarespace has merchandise and features to make your products look best online. So again, that's squarespace.com/toast for a free trial. When you're ready to launch, use your our offer code toast to save that 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain, squarespace.com/toast. And then once you're ready to launch, that offer code is toast. Again, you can connect with your audience, generate revenue, you can make members only content, whatever it is that you're selling online. You have a podcast, you need a website. You have an alcoholic beverage, you need a website. Squarespace.com/toast is the one-stop shop for that. And today's episode is also brought to you by Honey. It's easy to save when you're shopping on your iPhone or your computer with Honey. So Jackie and I have been Honey customers long before they were brought on as a sponsor. It is the greatest, most genius thing. It is a free-to-download browser extension. It's free to download when you use our link. And then this is how it works. You're shopping, you're having a good time, enjoying your life, shopping for makeup, clothes. I've used it on electronics, I've used it on food. And once you're ready to check out, Honey will just pop up and be like, hey girl, click this button and you could save some money. They will scour the internet for different promo codes and they will get you the best possible price. I've used it for years on my computer, and now they have a Safari on your phone browser extension. So if you shop online, when you're at class or you're supposed to be working, you can also do it on your phone now, which is really stunning. So if they find a working coupon, you will just watch the prices drop. They search the internet for all the coupons that it can find. And now it just doesn't just work on desktop. It works on your iPhone too. Activate it on Safari on your phone and then you'll just save on the go. Takes a few seconds for Honey to search. It's so easy. I used at Revolve, at Bloomingdale's, literally everywhere. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out. By getting it, you're doing yourself a solid. It is free to download when you use our link, and then you're saving money. They have saved their customers millions and millions of dollars over the years. It is the greatest browser extension. It's PayPal Honey. You can get it for free when you go to joinhoney.com/toast. That's joinhoney, joinhoney.com/toast. You can get the browser extension for free at joinhoney.com/toast.
Toast, actually, but also toast. We should work on getting that to be like an alternate promo code for some of our listeners who just speak the way that we do.
Who get it. But the real link is joinhoney.com/TOAST. Thank you, Honey and Squarespace, for sponsoring today's episode, which is sure to be a good time because there's some good stories. Now, I meant to ask you this before we dove into the podcast, but now it's too late. Like, because I was also looking this morning for stories, and it's impossible to open your phone without being inundated by something Prince Harry has said. Are we discussing any Prince Harry nonsense today?
No, like I can take a fucking hint with you yelling at me saying you don't want to talk about it. So I kind of read between the lines on that, and I didn't choose any more Meghan and Harry stories.
No, I'm glad, because like I'm so subtle. I didn't know if you had like picked up on that.
Yeah, no, I'm like pretty with it, I would say. Like I can really like understand people, and I felt like that's what you were trying to tell me, but you couldn't find the words.
No, and you definitely understand people really well, but you really understand me. And I'm not the type of person to just like kind of say how I feel outright. I'll just kind of skirt around the issue. And what I love about you and just working with you as my sister is like, you know, you get me.
Yeah, because you really are like passive aggressive, and you just like want people to read your mind. And that's what I do, though. I'm your personal mind reader.
So true. So true.
So true. So no, we will not be discussing any of the craziness that's going on. I think I need to start a new podcast.
Literally.
Because there's so much going on. Like if this were a one woman show, like we would be talking about it every single day because the craziness continues to unfold. Like he doesn't stop sitting down for interviews, but we won't be talking about any of that. Instead, we'll be talking about the other big news from the weekend, which is that Real Housewives of Salt Lake City star Jen Shah has been sentenced to 6.5 years in prison for fraud. The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City star Jen Shah has been sentenced to 6.5 years or 78 months in prison for wire fraud. Her attorney told Page Six on Friday that, quote, Jen is deeply regrets the mistakes that she has made and is profoundly sorry to the people she has hurt. Jen has faith in our justice system, understands that anyone who breaks the law will be punished, and accepts this sentence as just. Jen will pay her debt to society, and when she's a free woman again, she vows to pay her debt to the victims harmed by her mistakes.
Okay, I was really shocked. Of course, on Friday's episode, we were waiting with bated breath, refreshing our phones every 10 seconds, waiting to see what the verdict would be, and then it came out literally 20 minutes after our episode dropped. But I'm actually glad that it did, because I had like a lot of questions about it, and I was able to read up on her sentencing. And I said before, like, I know their crimes were not similar, but I am comparing this almost just instinctively to the Chrisley case, because the Chrisleys were sentenced to 12 years in prison like a month ago. So it's just in my mind, like reality star, you know, finance crimes. And I found her sentence to be so much lower, especially because when that big thing came out, when she was arrested, the attorney general, she was facing up to 30 years. So I just, 6.5 years is obviously a long time to like not see your family and stay in prison. But like based on what she was up against, it feels like she got a good sentence.
Yeah, I don't know why I thought she was going away for like 50 years.
Right, because that's how they made it seem when the whole thing happened. Like the FBI, Attorney General, U.S. federal government. Like it was definitely, and I think her taking the plea deal and what's the word? Like
admitting guilt.
Pleading guilty was huge for her. And so that's what I learned when I was just like looking into the Chrisley thing, is like the Chrisleys went to trial. They like wasted, like when you waste the government's like time and energy and money when you are guilty, I think you get a harsher sentence than like just admitting your guilt, saving the court, the judge, the jurors time. And they'll give you leniency for that. So she at first wasn't pleading guilty. She was going to go to trial. And then a few weeks ago or months ago, I forgot how long, she said, yeah, I did that shit. And that was smart because that's how she ended up with 6.5 years. I don't know what she would have gotten if they had went through the whole trial.
Yeah. Or she could have been proven innocent if she felt that she was innocent. That's why you go to trial, if you think you're innocent.
Yeah. Well, I guess she wasn't.
So it's not that, I mean, 6.5 years is a long time, but like, I feel like by the time she comes out, like, Housewives will still be on the air and like she'll be back. I just thought that like she would get a sentence that was so long that like whenever she comes back, like there's no more Housewives. Like we've moved on. Like you and I will be 50 years old.
The aliens have inhabited the planet. I know what you mean.
But no. And then Dumois posted something, which of course you take with a grain of salt, that Real Housewives of Salt Lake City is going on hiatus. Like they're kind of going to like wipe the slate clean with the cast. It's really bad, the show. And they're going to take some time off, like maybe pull a Dallas, not cancel it, but like it won't be around for a while. And so it kind of makes sense. Like maybe they take off like 6.5 years. Like I feel like at this point, Dallas has been off the air for at least 3 years. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't feel like it's been that long. So another three. And then if it were to come back in another three, that would be like Salt Lake City waiting for Jen. It's not inconceivable.
No, it's not inconceivable, especially, I don't know how it works with federal crimes, but like people get sentenced to like 10 years and they get out in six for good behavior, or whatever. Like she, I don't know. I don't know if with federal crimes, like you, I think you have to serve, I think I read somewhere like 80% of your sentence. So I don't know what the minimum amount of time that she could serve is. But yeah, and I really feel like, even if the Dumois thing's not true, but like the way the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City were given this like gem, like they could have made these last two seasons into like historically good seasons. But the way that like this Jen thing happened, which is like the craziest, most global historic news in Housewives history. And then they're going on hiatus because they flopped so much. Like it's so crazy to me. I feel like I know I can't stop talking about it, but it should have been huge and it wasn't.
Yeah. Well, they weren't equipped. And all of this happened after the first season of Housewives. So maybe they just like were not up to the challenge. They weren't seasoned enough Housewives.
Yeah.
They didn't know how
that's definitely what it.
How to do the job.
That's definitely what it was. And so when I compare it again, like to the Chrisleys, first of all, it's double the time. They're going away for 12 years. The Chrisleys are older. And it's like by the time you get out, like 6 years is a long time. But like it's not like you'll, you know, you see Mr. Kids growing up like. It does feel like a very lenient sentence. It really does.
Yes, it does. In the grand scheme of what could have been.
And in the grand scheme of what she did. And it's like the Chrisleys defrauded like the government and banks. And even though I will say what I also read and discovered was like they weren't, you know, defrauding Citibank. It was these like smaller southern like mom and pop banks. Still like big institutions, but not, you know, Chase. So it's still fucked up for sure, but I think what Jen Shah did is like 45 times worse.
Yes, I would agree.
So this saga, which like, I feel like it all happened kind of quickly. Like when she got arrested, like when we read about it, it doesn't feel like it's been that long, even though it has been, what, like 2 years?
2-3 years maybe.
It does feel like the whole process was pretty quick.
Yeah, in hindsight. But not what it felt like for so long. It was like, we'll see. Innocent until proven guilty. Now she's pled guilty. What's the sentence, though? Like, now it's really over for now until whenever she starts serving. And then I'm sure we'll see her on Real Housewives in 6.5 years.
Yeah, no. And I also probably would assume it didn't feel like it went by really quickly for Jen Shah.
But also, I think that. Do you want it to go by quickly or do you want to drag it out? Because then you get more time before you have to go.
Yeah, but then you're also just delaying the inevitable. Like, yeah, you want to push back when you go into prison, but you're going to have to go anyway, so you might as well just get it over with.
Yes, maybe at this stage, now that she knows what her sentence is, but, like, along the way, you can kind of delude yourself into thinking, like, well, maybe I'll be proven innocent. Okay, well, maybe the sentence won't be that long. Like, I think now that she's gotten her sentence, I think a lot of people do want to go and start it as soon as possible. But over the last few years, dragging out might not have been like the worst thing for her, and it bought her more time on the show.
That's true, and like more opportunities to make money, because I'm sure she also owes some sort of restitution to her victims.
Yes, she should.
As she should. And I don't know what federal prison is like. I don't know what, you know, is it? I think I read she was going away to a minimum security prison in Texas.
Yeah, she's going to Texas.
I don't know, are federal prisons like worse, better? Is it like, you know, the Lori Loughlin type of prison? Like, is it like chill? Is it camp? I don't know.
I don't know either.
Wishing her best, you know, wishing her the best, wishing her victims, you know, a speedy recovery, because it's so fucked up. Like, it's beyond.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, are you ready for our next story?
Yeah. Yeah, I am.
A little Nepo baby news, because Hailey Bieber is weighing in on the discourse with a fashion statement. Hailey Bieber is not afraid to make a fashion statement. The Rhodes Kid founder stepped out in LA on Friday and was photographed in a parking garage wearing a baby tee with the words Nepo Baby printed across the front. She obviously like styled it in her classic way, jeans, some stomper boots, little purse, little bag. And people are quaking. She's really embracing the controversy. Some celebrities like Gwyneth commented being like, I'm going to need a bunch of these shirts. And I'm kind of loving her approach to this.
I agree. I think a lot of people thought this was like a major serve for her. Like because on the Nepo Baby topic, like we want to hear from everyone except the Nepo Babies. And like, I think a lot of Nepo Babies during the discourse have come on and like responded and just kind of defended themselves being like, I've worked really hard. And there's no doubting that. But like, shut up. Like, it's just kind of like, it's not illegal to be a Nepo Baby, but like, don't talk. Like, seriously, shut up. And Hailey Bieber just kind of owning it with the t-shirt is so like iconically iconic. And it's just, it's exactly what we needed. Cause like, we don't want to hear from them. Like, yep, I'm a Nepo Baby, period, end of story. And that's what she did. And like Gwyneth getting involved and like commenting. This was such a slay. It was a slay and a half.
It was. And it shows like, you know, a level of self-deprecation, like humor and personality,
yes,
which I think underscores the point that Nepo Babies are trying to make when they do try and speak about it, which is like, I have more to offer than just my birthright. And also the fact that she is very famous for being very stylish. And then she's like taking the title and putting her spin on it. I think it's really a beautiful moment in celebrity Nepo Babies taking back their power.
I completely agree. Like, and honestly, I didn't see Hailey Bieber as like someone who would do this. I feel like she like avoids all certain types of like controversy or conflict or even just like, you know, sticky subjects. So I feel like she would have just let this conversation happen around her. She's obviously a Nepo Baby. She's not going to speak out on it. She's not going to defend herself. She's not going to defend Nepo Babies. She's not going to attack Nepo Babies. I feel like she's very conflict averse. So this is kind of like a big deal.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't see this for her, but also I feel like when we talk about the biggest Nepo Babies, like who comes to mind, weirdly, I don't think we've talked about her once, even though, of course, she is a Nepo Baby, period. But like when we were going back and forth with names, I feel like there are some that get the most credit for
attention.
Being Nepo attention and backlash probably. And I feel like she inserted herself into this conversation when really she wasn't getting that much heat over it. Actually, I'm not in her DMs and in her comments. Like, I don't know what people say to her. But, and it's just like, I could say, the Jelena stans don't ever say anything about Hailey. But like, she experiences it differently. But I do feel like she's not even top 10 of who you think of when you think of Nepo Baby.
That's true. And I think it's mostly because like her dad's kind of like a flop. Like he's certainly like an actor. But when you think of the Baldwin family, you think of Alec. So I think part of it has to do with her being like the niece of Alec and her dad, like definitely being like an accomplished actor, but not like a big Hollywood wheeling and dealing power. Like he's not that famous. So I think mostly it's because of that.
Yeah. And also, I don't know, maybe it's also because like at this point, she's also married to someone who's so big. So like, what's the word for that person?
Right. No, like, that's an amazing call.
Married and like Nepo wife.
I feel like if everything in the world made sense, like Hailey Bieber would have been Alec Baldwin's daughter and Ireland Baldwin would have been Stephen Baldwin's daughter. Do you know what I mean?
I do, but I do and I don't. Yeah, I know what you mean. On a surface level,
like
yes,
a fame surface on a surface lyrics level.
Yes, which we love lyrics that go beyond the surface sometimes, but sometimes we just need to stay on the surface.
And I know we have so many new listeners and it's so annoying when like we always reference old inside jokes, but like I'm genuinely begging you to go find the reference of surface lyrics. It is probably one of my favorite stories ever told.
I don't know what episode it is. You don't tell it often. You haven't told it more than once, so just tell it.
I was in Nashville in maybe like 2018. Ben and I used to have like this big partnership with Diageo Spirits. So we would travel mostly with like Captain Morgan and some of their like, you know, millennial-y brands. And we became really friendly with the people who worked there. Like I still am friends with a lot of them and they knew we loved country music and Nashville. And so I had never been to Nashville and they were planning it wasn't an influencer trip. It was
Like tastemakers, blog, food
writers, like they were going to the George Dickel Distillery in Nashville. It was going to be, it wasn't an influencer trip. It was just like this press trip. And they were like, if you guys want to come, like, you can come. Like, it's not like an influencer fancy trip. Like, you've never been to Nashville and like you love country music. And Dustin Lynch was performing. So we just like hopped along like on this writer's trip full of like writers from around the world who write about like liquor, like cocktails and food. And so it was like kind of like an older, kind of like weird crowd, but like me and Ben were just happy to be there. And we were doing like a day of activities. We went to the distillery and then we went to like Hattie B's hot chicken. So we're in this car with a bunch of like fancy older writers and we're talking about Nashville and it's me and Ben's first time. And how I said, I love country music. They're like, really? That's so weird. You're from New York, yada, yada. And we were talking about why we like country music. And Ben like answered for us, which is just weird because like Ben doesn't even like country music as much as I do. And he goes, he gave like probably the weirdest answer anyone could ever give as to why they like country music. Ben goes, yeah, no, it's just like, if you listen to the lyrics, they're so not like surface lyrics. And the car was just silent. Like nobody responded because one, like, what the fuck does that even mean? And two, like, okay, surface lyrics? Like what? When we got out of the car, I roasted Ben to fucking filth. I'm like, what the fuck did you just say? He was like so embarrassed. Like nobody answered him. Nobody even made a sound. Like the conversation died at that moment. Nobody said anything until we got out of the car. And now I can't say the word surface, whether I'm talking about like a surface cleaner or, you know, on the surface, it has to be surface lyrics. And he said lyrics, not lyrics.
Which is just another
wrong.
Yeah.
Wrong. So that's where surface lyrics comes from, in case you were wondering.
Yeah, and that's why on the surface lyrics, it would seem like a Hailey Bieber should be Alex Child.
Oh, speaking of Alec Baldwin, I'm sure this isn't a story because it's moronic, but I wanted to share. Did you see Alec Baldwin is being mocked endlessly for his most recent Instagram post?
I saw he was being mocked, something to do with a million followers.
So he made this video like begging his followers to follow Ilaria, or as I like to call her, Hillary from Boston. He was begging people to follow her. Her birthday's coming up and he wants to help her reach a million followers. And it was just like kind of like something I would do, you know, and like, why is Alec Baldwin, this like major actor, you know, doing this? It was kind of beneath him and he got roasted. And that's just what happened with Alec Baldwin this weekend.
When you fuck around, you find out.
Yeah, no, that's what happens when you act out and like act embarrassing on social media. Sorry. Yeah.
Especially when you're Alec Baldwin and like you've just got like bigger things you should be worried about.
No, especially when you're Alec Baldwin, who like in, you know, recent years has really become like not taken seriously. I think
not the Hillary of it favorite.
All. The Hillary of it all had a lot to do with it. And I think him urging people, like begging for followers, and then it being his scam artist Anna Delvey wife, it wasn't the vibe.
Right. I would say also the shooting has a lot to do with it.
Of course. I didn't want to bring that up, but yeah.
That's why obsessed. The fuck do you have to bring that up?
By the way, you have to get on TikTok.
I'm on TikTok because I talk to you every day.
So true. I'm kind of like the personification of TikTok.
You really are. Why the fuck do you have to bring that up?
So
I don't
true.
Know because it's germane to Alec Baldwin. No,
it is germane. And it's still, in my mind, one of the craziest things that's probably ever happened in the history of Hollywood. And it's so sad. It is so sad. Like, this woman, this mom, this young, talented woman died. It is so sad. That's why, like, that's honestly why I didn't bring it up. Because, like, at the end of the day, it's, like, this crazy Alec Baldwin thing. But it's also, like, literally somebody died. So, to me, it's one of the craziest and saddest things that's ever happened.
Yeah. But I think it would be, like, sadder to
not
forget about it and just kind of, like, let it pass without just, like,
you're right,
constantly being, like, remembering her.
Agreed.
Are you ready for our next story? Switching gears in a major way to a little beauty business news.
Oh my God, yes. I'm so glad you chose this story.
Morphe Cosmetics is closing all U.S. retail stores. Employees say they were left in the dark for weeks. Morphe Cosmetics, a makeup brand once synonymous with YouTube beauty culture, confirmed Thursday it was shutting down all its U.S. stores. A move that shocked its employees, outraged customers, and left some experts questioning the brand's future. Well, it sounds like the future is bleak if they just close down all their stores, but okay. The news comes after
I feel like there's actually nothing questionable about the future.
I don't have questions about the future. I have questions about the past.
Right.
Like, why the fuck do you have to bring that up?
No, like, how did they fumble the ball so big?
Well, I think it's more of a statement on YouTube beauty culture than it is on Morphe, because Morphe was just an extension of YouTube beauty culture. I feel like they didn't expand. Right now, I mean, based on what you tell me, like, beauty culture is really popping off on TikTok. So, like, yeah. Michaela should have a line at Morphe, Alex Earle, based on, and this is just me, you know, getting my information from my favorite trusted news source, McClartia Laturdia.
And that's just how you know, like, I genuinely, like, I'm right about everything, because you're 100% right. I think a lot of people are shocked, because beauty is a space that's so impacted by influencer culture. So a brand that, like, dove headfirst into influencer culture failing like this, it's like, well, is this a statement on influencer, you know, like, the value of influencers? And no, actually, I think maybe like 2 years ago when TikTok started popping off is really when Morphe started dying off in my mind. Like, they were so in YouTube culture and that was great for a while, but you're right, like, the epicenter of beauty trends is TikTok right now. And I feel like when they launched Morphe 2, they made Charlie and Dixie the face, and then that was the last thing they ever did with TikTok. And I don't know why they didn't lean in more. You're right, like, Michaela, and even so many of those big YouTube people are now huge on TikTok, and I think they value it just as much as they value their YouTube channels. Like, Nikki Tutorials is huge, Jackie Aina. Like, I don't know why Morphe didn't keep up that energy past the YouTube era.
Yeah, I mean, maybe there's more, you know, behind the scenes where it's like they couldn't afford to invest more in, like, these new people. And I understand, like, going so hard on influencer culture, and I don't think that that's a bad business model, but if you're going to do that, you have to be aware that, like, influencer culture changes 5 minutes, and you have to change with that. And, like, I wouldn't give every influencer, like, their whole ass line. Like, I'd be like, let's collab on a product. Like, oh, Alex Earle's always wearing the white eyeliner. Like, let's 100%. Do Alex Earle eyeliner.
How do you know that?
Because I don't know. I really don't. Like, well, I follow Alex Earle on Instagram, so I get bits and pieces of Miss Earle.
What do you think about her? She's kind of everything of the sort.
She's really fabulous. She's just like, you could tell, and I know from you that she's just like in college and being a college girl. And
normal.
You can tell from so much of her content. She's just like going to parties. She like posts with her friends. And then she also does like influency type things. But it does feel like following someone who's in college, who's just like famous at their college, which is fun.
Yeah. It must be exciting for her to like go to college parties with just like people she's hung out with for the last 4 years. But then also like go to LA and meet Selena Gomez, like really best Hannah Montana.
Yeah, and also to like post from like her regular life stuff, and it must be so fun for her friends to be like, oh my God, this is crazy.
No, I feel like when we like years ago had Danielle Carolan on the toast, you spoke to her a lot about that because she was in college at the time and she was like blowing up on YouTube, and it's like so cool to have these like two different like worlds, but then be like kind of famous in college.
Yeah. Famous in college.
So it also is important to note about the Morphe thing. They're closing their retail stores. I think they're still going to be, they still are a beauty brand. So I think also this is probably just a statement on retail in general. I think there's a lot of successful makeup brands and they don't have their own stores. I would argue that most don't.
Yes, but I actually think that retail is pretty important for beauty. Like,
makeup.
I think for a lot of other categories, you can pretty much write out retail completely. But, like, to go to the store and to see the colors in person and, like, to swab it, like, that's something that you can't get online. And so I don't think that, like, retail needs to be dead for the beauty industry in general. Like, I do think that I sometimes order my makeup online, but I really do prefer to go to the store.
Yeah, of course. But like, if you're going to go to a makeup store, you're going to go to Sephora that sells 50 brands, or are you going to go to Morphe that sells one brand?
Well, it depends what you're looking
like
for.
I'm saying these individual brands having their own stores, like that's really difficult to maintain. I feel like the only brand who continues to do that and is still killing it is MAC. And that's because MAC is like the original beauty brand ever, like the first one ever made.
But that's not why they're still killing it.
Then why do you think they are?
I have no idea what, like, I don't really shop there. I don't know what their secret sauce is. But just because they were the first, honestly, sometimes when you're the first, you're also the last to, like.
Yeah, but, like, they're so at the epicenter of, like, makeup artists. Like, I feel like if you want to be a makeup artist, you have to have worked at MAC. It's, like, this really prestigious, which is so crazy because I actually don't think I use a single MAC product.
At one time, yes. And I think for a long time that sustained their business. But like why they are still in business today, I would love to know.
Yeah, that's a good question.
The whole industry has changed. They're not really TikTok-y. And, but sometimes just like quality is quality. Like I don't care what's going on TikTok. Like I want good shit. And I know that MAC has it.
That's it. Like they have major like quality, major quality, period. I'm going to end the sentence.
They have the major quality.
Major quality.
That's how I feel about a lot of the brands that I use, because I don't really switch up my makeup ever. But like some of my favorite cosmetic brands, like NARS, they're not doing anything crazy. They're not going viral. It's just major quality.
Actually, they do have like some virality. And they
what
also
do they go viral for?
I mean, their most recent launch of foundation, I'm actually wearing it today, NARS Light Reflecting Foundation, is like a TikTok top five product. It is one of the best foundations. Like, oh, okay. I use it every day.
I've been using their foundation for like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, and the old one, the version that you use, the taller, skinnier bottle, is also like a staple. But the new one, like Michaela Nogueira is on this journey to finding her wedding foundation. And she's like narrowed it down to 5 of the best. And the NARS Light Reflecting Foundation is on that list.
I also have the Light Reflecting Foundation because I'm on their PR list. So I use that one when I can't find my tall, skinny one. And I love it too. I love it. But I think they're both really great.
That's also the other thing about this Morphe situation is like in the last few years, there's a million new brands. Some pop off, some don't. And there really isn't space for an unlimited amount of brands in the beauty space. So it's like Fenty and Selena Gomez, like all these celebrity ones taking off. And then these ones going viral, creating huge beauty brands. Jones Road, Bobbi Brown. Like there's so many brands. So like eventually we were just reported recently, Becca is going out. Bite Beauty is going out. Like, there's not enough space for everyone. So eventually somebody, and so just Morphe being one to like scale down is a really big deal because they were so big.
Yeah, they were so big. So in addition to scaling down, a handful of the company's employees took to TikTok over the holidays to call out the company's lack of transparency during the layoffs, with many using the hashtag justice for Morphe retail employees. Viewers quickly responded in support, blasting the brand for allegedly leaving its employees in the dark while stores ran out of inventory. Some beauty experts said the news was not surprising, given that the company had reportedly experienced years of financial and legal troubles and reputational damage. The brand's treatment of employees during the shutdown could further hurt its reputation among Gen Z consumers who have already demonstrated their aversion towards Morphe.
No, like, I mean, I don't keep, like, I'm into beauty, but I'm not that into beauty that I was like keeping up with Morphe's sales and scandals. But if you are, then you might have heard that. I hadn't heard any of that. Like, as far as I knew, it definitely just felt like from a consumer POV, like, and someone who's on TikTok and watches a lot of social media, like, Morphe was just becoming irrelevant.
Yeah, because I think that the people that they invested in were less relevant than, not only less relevant than they once were, but also like controversial now, like James Charles and Jeffree Star. And like, that's really, I think, where they probably put the most money into. And so then there's like not really money for other tings.
Yeah, but what's so crazy is like, no matter how controversial, that James Charles palette with Morphe, I think is the best selling eyeshadow palette in the history of beauty. Like it was the biggest, baddest thing.
Yeah, no, and it was. But it's like, what'd you do today? You know, and that's what's sad. Like, you can't just like cruise on that one palette.
No, and that's what, like, if you're going to get into any space that's like, even like what we do, like influencing or podcasting, it's so, you can't be stagnant for 1 minute.
You can't rest. You cannot
sleep.
You
can't rest. So, and beauty is like now weirdly like such a tech influenced space that you have to keep doing the most. It's exhausting, like the amount of launches, the amount of companies, the amount of new products, like.
And like also with beauty, like everybody wants everyone to invent like the newest thing. It's not just about like coming out with cool colors of existing products, but it's like, did you transform my face today with one lip gloss or no?
Right. Like, is this lip gloss also a blush that changes the pH of your face?
Then I don't want it.
Exactly. It's like it's very competitive, which is good for the consumer because I feel like there's so much good makeup out there. No matter what, like your price range is, your budget is, whatever you're looking for. I feel like the crazy boom in the makeup industry has actually been great for us. Like, I feel like I love all the makeup I've, you know, gotten over the last few years. And like I now use like my core products. I feel like makeup is like kind of like killing it.
Yeah, no, for sure it is. It's definitely a fun industry to be in. I'm not speaking from experience. I'm just saying like it seems like fun. place. It also has really high margins, so there's a lot of room for big success. But you've got to constantly be innovating, not just like with colors, like with products. Like, you literally need to be an inventor. So good luck to you on that. Mm-hmm. I personally, I like the classics. I don't really get caught up in these trends. Like, everyone's always like, do an updated makeup tutorial. And it's like, I totally could. I'd be happy to, but it's the same one that you saw 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's tried and true. And you, you experienced it when I did your makeup. Because it's true. You do TikTok makeup, but I do, like, back in the day, contour makeup, like, just, like, angles. Yep. And you were like, yeah, there's something to this.
100%. Like, it's a staple for a reason.
So don't feel bad if you're not caught up with these trends, because I'm don't feel certainly bad. Not.
Don't feel bad.
I know some people might be feeling bad.
I know. Like, they're probably listening to this podcast crying. Like, don't cry. It's okay.
It's okay if you don't have a lipstick that's also a blush that changes the pH of your skin.
Yeah. I mean, it's fine. It's not okay, but it's fine.
Totally. Well, are you ready for our next story?
If it's the next story that's brought to you by Framebridge, is that perchance the story that you have?
It is.
Framebridge, the custom framing company, is the perfect way to refresh your space for the new year by framing everything that matters to you. And that's because they can Framebridge just about anything, whether it's game day jerseys, selfies, your anniversary dinner menu, artwork, or your favorite movie poster. Here's how it works. Go to framebridge.com, upload your digital photo. If you have a physical photo that you'd like to frame like a poster, they will send you complimentary packaging to safely mail it into the factory. You can preview your piece online in dozens of frame styles and choose your favorite. The experts at Framebridge will custom frame your piece and deliver your finished piece directly to your door, ready to hang. Instead of the hundreds of dollars you'd pay at a framing store, their prices start at just $39. Order online at framebridge.com or stop by a Framebridge store near you to work with the designer in person. Jackie, I know you have this gorgeous self-portrait, an iPhone photo that really looks kind of like an Andy Warhol that you framed in your closet, correct? Can you tell me about that process?
The process was so wonderful. You can pick the photo off your phone if you did happen to take just like a gorgeous picture on your phone, which most of us do because our iPhones, our camera quality is better than like most cameras. And just uploaded it to Framebridge, chose, you know, my mat, my frame size, frame color, et cetera, et cetera. And then it came shipped directly to me looking so gorgeous and ready to hang. So I actually need some more art around my house and I need like really big picture art. And it's like, I have so many great pictures that Zach and I have taken over the years of not just ourselves, but, you know, settings that we've been in. And one, it's beautiful. And two, it's a great memory. So I would highly recommend Framebridge if you're decorating, if you're looking for a gift for someone, if you just like want to treat yourself to a glamorous self-portrait in your bedroom or bathroom, like you really can't go wrong.
Get started today and frame your photos or give someone the perfect gift. Go to framebridge.com and place your order today. That's framebridge.com. Place that order today, girlies. All right, Jax, what's the story?
Thank you. Our next story is a little Bravo news. Real Housewives of Potomac star Ashley Darby confirms that she and Summer House alum Luke Gulbranson have split. It's a wrap on the romance for Ashley and Luke. The Bravo celebrities have called it quits after less than 3 months of dating, Ashley confirmed on Sunday night's episode of Watch What Happens Live. She said, quote, Luke and I are not romantically involved anymore. She went on to explain that her ongoing divorce with her estranged husband, Michael Darby, is to blame for their split. She said, quote, it was my situation with Michael that affected Luke and I. She said that she and Michael are having a really hard time with co-parenting and separating. She said, really, my life is very complicated. As you guys can imagine, I'm going through a very difficult situation. That doesn't mean Luke didn't try his best, though. She said, quote, Luke was a trooper, believe me. He went through some things. She also said that she met his family during their time together and that, quote, they were amazing. I fell in love with them. So great. She said she isn't worried about jumping back into the dating pool again. I'm newly single. This is my first relationship after, and it's nice to be reminded that I am a girl and that I love to love and I love to be loved. Give me all the love. So I would say this is the definition of like a rebound relationship that's totally positive, didn't work out. I don't think anyone expected these two to get married, but like gave Ashley her groove back and like showed her what she deserves. And I think that's a beautiful storybook ending.
No, like as much as this was like a cute couple, I'm not surprised and I'm not sad. I feel like actually we got out of these two like more than I thought we were going to get. I really thought it was like a BravoCon like drunk hookup and like they were living for like the social media attention. I didn't think it was going to be anything real. And the fact that she actually experienced like a nice 3 month relationship with somebody who probably treated her so much better and so different than her previous relationship and like showed her like the possibilities of what's out there. I feel like she's probably really grateful to Luke. I'm grateful to Luke. And like, you know what? It's okay. I feel like it's okay.
I feel like it's okay too. Every day of these 3 months was a blessing for all of us and more than we deserved. And I I think this is all good. And, you know, some people come into your life for a reason or a season.
No, it's so true. And I feel like I follow Ashley Darby on TikTok, and she's like really feeling herself, like getting her groove back. I think she's like, you know, reached this just like kind of peaceful place. She's always dancing. She's always with her friends. And so I feel like Luke probably helped get her there a little bit, like showing her, you know, it doesn't always have to be that hard in a relationship. And I feel like he probably kept it like simple and fun, and he's young, and it was good. And it was a fun moment for the Bravo fans, a little crossover, and it was good. It was good. It's enough.
It was good. I don't really know Luke that well because I didn't watch Summer House when he was on. I only know him from like that one season of Winter House where he was just like kind of like being a lumberjack. And while like I'm really happy for Ashley Darby, and I feel like the narrative here is like good for Ashley, this was good for Ashley, like, you know, it was everything she needed him to be. But it's like, what about Luke? Like, when's it going to be Luke's turn? He seems like a good guy, you know, and he's not just like here to be like
used. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I know you're saying it's like, yeah, thanks, Luke. But it's like, what about Luke? Like, when is it Luke's turn? I totally hear what you're saying. I feel like I watched him on Summer House. He like went through a little bit of a rough patch, like kind of like giving fuckboy energy. But at the end of the day, he's like a nice guy. He's not a bad guy. He's not like Austin level. I just think maybe he was like bad at communicating and got himself like a little bit of a bad reputation because like he literally couldn't talk to people. I think Luke gets on fine. Honestly, I think Luke is taking care of Luke for real.
Do you think it will be Luke's turn soon?
No, because you know what? Like, this is just a fact of life. Like, some people are main characters and some people are not.
And you don't think he's a main character?
No, he gives very like supportive energy, like supportive character energy.
Wow. Okay, that's like really, really harsh.
Is it?
I think it's harsh. Yeah, I think everybody, if you're not the main character of your own life, like,
I didn't say that.
What are you doing?
No, he's the main character of his own life for sure. Just not like everyone else is. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But oh, is that I guess mean? Like for you, you're No, it's not when you say it like that. Like, but you are the main character of everyone's life that you're in. We can say that.
Duh. Like, yeah.
Yeah. But Luke is.
So are you, bitch. So are you.
Thank you.
You are definitely like main character. You're like you have charisma. Like you walk into a room and like the room changes. You know what I mean?
Thank you. I need to bring up Luke more if these are the compliments.
Yeah, no, I guess I could see how, like you saying that what I said was mean. I could see how that's definitely true. What I was saying is just like, I really honestly don't know what I was saying. And now I feel like a bully. So I can think we move
I get
on?
I get what you're saying more so.
Okay.
But like in the movie of Luke's life where he is the main character, of as course. You stated, like when will it be his turn? And what does his turn even look like?
Okay, so I feel like it's been his turn. Like, he got on the show. People really like him. He's very handsome. I think he was, like, you know, trying to become an actor before. And now he probably makes a good living. He gets a lot of girls. I think Luke is fine.
You think Luke's fine?
Yeah, I think Luke is, like, totally fucking fine. Totally fine.
Okay. Okay. Are you ready for our fifth and final story?
Oh, my God. Already? Yeah. But
yeah, it's
by
some
the way,
twists.
I'm ready for our fifth and final story. Go, dogs.
Go, dogs, go.
Yeah.
It is some twisted fucking news, Bravo adjacent, because at the end of last week, Randall Emmett's ex-wife, Amber Childers, claimed that the FBI is investigating Randall for pedophilia.
Wait, Amber Childers. Wait. Did we report on Friday about Lisa Rinna?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't remember. Sorry. Continue. I thought that was the story.
It wasn't very memorable other than to say, yeah, remember we talked about ding dong. What could it mean?
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Amber Childers claimed in a court filing that the FBI is investigating her ex-husband, Randall Emmett, for suspected child exploitation and pedophilia. Also, Randall Emmett is the former partner of Lala Kent, who is our queen on Vanderpump Rules, Mother of Ocean.
Randall Childers, is also like a Hollywood children. Producer.
What?
Randall yeah, is also Randall like a Hollywood is, producer.
A Hollywood producer, yes. Childers, who shares two minor children with Emmett, made the explosive allegation in a signed declaration she submitted as part of a domestic violence restraining order request filed in the LA Superior Court in late December. In the court documents obtained by Page Six, the actress alleged that the movie producer is, quote, being investigated by the FBI for suspected child exploitation and or pedophilia. Emmett, by the way, Randall, has denied the allegation, telling Page Six, I'm not being investigated by the FBI nor anyone else, and the notion that I am is beyond absurd. He said, anyone can say whatever they want in a pleading. That doesn't make it true. There is zero evidence that I'm being investigated for anything, and we will still share 50-50 custody of our children. I am shocked and in utter disbelief that Amber would even hint at something so disgusting and untrue. And then he also posted a video to his Instagram where he slams these, quote, lies as well. At this point, the lies have been stretched so far. We spent today getting confirmation because we knew there was no truthfulness to any of this, that the FBI has never been investigating me and isn't investigating me because there's nothing to investigate. So that's his side.
Well, the good thing about this is, like, it's not he said, she said. Like, either there's an FBI investigation or there ain't. So we'll just have to wait and see what the verdict of that is, because it's a huge, huge allegation.
It's a huge allegation, and often, like, you know, divorces can be messy and people say stuff. And I feel of like course. Typically I would be like, we kind of have to wait and see. Like, you can't just, like, slander, you're innocent until you're proven guilty. But, like, Randall is a liar. Like, lied to us. He lied to Lala. Like, he's, yeah. So I'm inclined to disbelieve him. Also, people have been referencing the fact that over the last year since Lala left him, like, she's been alluding to stuff about Randall that she said that is so disgusting, so depraved, she can't even say. Like, we know some of the stuff that he did during their relationship, and, like, some of the lies, you know, the brown fake diamond ring that she was wearing for 2 years. Yep. But then she was also saying that there's more that she found out that it's just, like, so awful, so gross, and people are now thinking that this might be that. So it kind of seems like there's a trail here. It tracks a little bit. It doesn't seem like it's so inconceivable. But yes, you are innocent until proven guilty. And I guess technically anyone can plead anything. But to write it in a sworn statement in a judicial document seems, like, kind of crazy if it's not true.
I also am curious about the relationship between Amber and Lala. Do we know?
It's good.
Obviously, at first, it's good.
It's good. They started getting along when Lala was still with Randall.
Yes, and co-parenting.
I think now that Lala's not with him, like, I think they have a good relationship. I think Lala has, like, so much respect for her, and I think everything's fine between the two of them.
Okay, good.
Yeah, but what's twisted is, like, so say their FBI is investigating Randall, he still has, like, custody of his daughters. He has three daughters between the two women, and so that's fucking weird if these allegations are true.
Right. And how do we just find out if they're true? I feel like, can the FBI release a statement? I'm curious.
I know. The FBI, like, really should weigh in, but they won't do that.
Well, hopefully it's not true. But if it is, like, that's actually disgusting and vile. And he deserves jail. So we'll wait and see.
And perhaps he will get jail once the investigation is concluded.
Those were the past five. You certainly needed to know. I would argue most of them. And that was our first LA show. Like, how did you feel?
I felt good. I'm really excited that you're in LA, bringing some LA energy, which we could always use considering, like, we are a podcast, we're influencers, so, like, we are inherently thirsty, and we need some of that LA energy.
And you know what we always say. I love LA.
We do always say it.
So we've got more episodes coming out this week. I'm recording two interviews while I'm here, just trying to, like, do the most with my time here, you know?
Can't wait for these interviews.
Interviews. So that's our show. We're going to wrap, correct? Anything else you want to chit-chat about, girl, from?
No, that is all from me. I will see you tomorrow for another Hollywood episode. We've gotten Hollywood now, so you really can't even talk to us.
Oh, wait, Jackie, do you hear that? You should pick up your phone. Hollywood is calling.
My phone is in use, but I'll just text back that I'll call you later.
Send a voicemail. Thank you guys so much for listening to The Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places where you listen to podcasts. Find us, The Toast. Leave a five-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and wickedly talented we are. Hope you guys have an incredible Monday. We'll see you tomorrow for Tuesday's episode. Until then, arrivederci.
Until then, goodbye.
No.
Love ya.
Jackie.
Bye.
Jackie. No. Arrivederci.
Au revoir.
Yes. I like that. Bye, guys.
We're so international. We got that from Babbel, you guys.
100%. Code toast.
Code toast.